T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The flagship station for your Boston Red Sox.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Live BP is sponsored by McFarlane Energy and their new home oil customer incentives at McFarlaneEnergy.com.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralta of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
I had a feeling, Steve Peralt. I had a feeling heading into last night. I had a feeling.
I'm ready for you to say what the feeling was. You had a feeling they were going to win.
I had no, more than that. So more than that.
There's going to be so much to break down about. Last night's game almost deserves like 8 hours of discussion because about a billion things happened. But was your feeling that they were going to come back to Boston with a 1-1 split?
Do we have this yet? Okay, so why should I tell you when it's documented proof of what my feeling was as I articulated on the pregame show?
Yeah, they got to get this split tonight. The Red Sox are going to win this series. Doesn't feel like it's an 0-3, you know, ALDS against the A's, losing two and winning three in a row from there. The Rays are too good, and you're predicting a win tonight, Rob, officially.
I'm predicting a win, not only a win, but a decisive win.
Okay, well, that means you're going to score runs tonight. Thank you, Bradfo.
All right.
I
had no interest in that.
All right, sounds good. All right, we're going to be back.
I have no idea what you just said, but okay.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Decisive win.
I liked how quick that was. It was a quick take, and it was an accurate take. They win 14-6. It's like it was the Patriots and Buccaneers game, whatever that was, like the second, third quarter. Enormous win for the Red Sox. I can't believe they won by 8 runs, Rob. The Red Sox win by 8 American runs. When Chris Sale went 1 inning,
no exchange rate needed because Blue Jays are out of the tournament.
And by the way, speaking of the Blue Jays,
your prediction.
I need to find a way to bring them up every single show that we do. I'm still looking over my shoulder, ready for them to play the Red Sox. I'm like, Vladdy's going to be at Fenway on Sunday. I don't know what's going on, but no, I mean it's what a roller coaster this team is the entire year. Finding a way last Sunday in D.C. to host the wild card game. Yankees squeak out a W. You then have that was a blowout on Tuesday. I know it took until that Verdugo for really to extend the lead.
Well, so we got a lot to get to because last we convened, it was before the Washington.
Well, last time we were on these airwaves together.
Oh, no, we weren't even on Sunday. On Saturday.
Yeah. But I'm saying last time you and I were on these EEI airwaves was right before the
Oh, that's right. That's right. Correct. Okay. So, this is, by the way, in case you don't know, this is a Live BP baseball show, the best baseball show, coincidentally, for one of the best baseball teams, following one of the best baseball teams. We are efforting guests all throughout the show.
Lenny's in. 5 o'clock. Oh, Lenny DiNardo.
What are you doing?
This is what we do. Rob.
What are you doing?
If you've learned anything from how we work together, we just kind of throw out requests, and whoever says yes, you're coming on. That's how it goes.
All right.
I would love both of them separately. Who cares?
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens. The other person is...
You can never have enough guests.
Yeah, the other person is Barack Obama.
This is how you fix a situation like this, Steve.
Yeah,
it'll be a cavalcade of stars today, all the way to 6 o'clock.
But isn't that what it should be? This is a huge show. This is a huge series. The Red Sox find a way to get it back here, split, and the mentality right now of Red Sox fans is just win today. It's a very day by day approach, which I like, and I like that Cora had that in game two. We got to win this game. Everyone always, series doesn't start until the road team wins at the home stadium.
Come on.
It's like, that doesn't work for a best of five. The series, in my eyes, and I understand the Red Sox did it in 0-3 with the A's. They did it in 99 against the Indians, coming back from 0-2 down to win three straight. It is not a position you want to be in, especially against a 100-win Rays team that is ready, that would have been ready on Sunday to end your season at Fenway Park.
The world has changed. Like, statements like that don't hold water anymore.
In best of fives.
Yeah, of course. And, okay, that's Steve Peralt of Section 10 and Odyssey.
Section 10, as long as this postseason keeps going.
Right, there you go.
They are extending my Section 10 career.
There you go. So, Steve Peralt catches Section 10, wins the next episode?
After Sunday. After game three.
All right, in Odyssey. He's working behind the scenes to make Odyssey the biggest of the big.
Yeah, the biggest of the big. I think that's the motto of the company.
It is.
We are the biggest of the
big. Put that on the bumper sticker. And I'm Rob Bradford. And so we were talking about, we were on before the wild card game. We made our predictions and all that. But I think that here's how I'm going to tie this together, Steve.
Yeah.
Is that the benefit, how we sit here right now with this team. Sure, they came off this big win last night, rebounding from it was basically the game one was everything that you should fear about the Rays came true. Like, everything about the Rays that is good manifested itself in that game. But now we sit here heading into tomorrow. The Red Sox are going to be holding their workout just in a mere matter of minutes over at Fenway Park. They have Eovaldi on the mound tomorrow. But here's where I want to tie the wild card game and this game together, which is I do believe that the crowd has become more of a thing than even we had talked about throughout the entire year, even when we talked about heading into the wild card game. Because, Steve, you were there for the wild card game. It was one of the best, if not the best, crowds that I have seen at Fenway Park in its own unique way. And the players noticed that. Like Plawecki told me after the game, he said, I've never seen a crowd like that. I've never been part of the crowd like that. So when they win this game and they're 1-1, it's not just we're going back to Fenway, we're going home and Eovaldi's pitching. It's, hey, this is what we're going back for. And it had a very real impact on the last time we played there.
Yeah, I had mentioned it on the Greg Hill show. When was that? Thursday? I'm losing track of the days. When it's postseason, they're all just the same. It's just win today, focus on whatever the game is that night, or the games that Friday, that first Friday, DS Friday. I love it. Yesterday is so much fun. You got games all over the place, and it makes a lot more fun. The Red Sox win. Heading into that game on Tuesday, the wild card game against the Yankees, we had talked about it, and I had mentioned before, I always love doing this like pat on the back stuff. I'd mentioned before the show.
You were prescient.
Mutt had mentioned what is the biggest advantage the Red Sox have in this game, and I'd said Fenway Park, this crowd. And really just hoping it was
Was it better, though?
Better than I thought.
Better than you thought.
Better than
was
I
it
thought.
The best crowd that you've ever seen?
It's the best first pitch to last pitch crowd I've ever seen.
And that was weird. You say first pitch. That was the weird thing. I had multiple players say that where the first pitch, though actually the first pitch was a ground up, but the first strike, who was to Judge, wait a second. They're cheering this like it was a home run.
The fans were treating that first inning by Eovaldi specifically when he gives up no runs he was closing the game. Like each strike was one more closer to winning, 1-0 in the ninth. I loved it. Fans were standing the whole time. I was standing because I'm up by the K guys as a Reese cup. But no, the atmosphere was just untouchable. I remember it in 04, my dad brought us to game two of the ALCS, the Who's Your Daddy game. That was a similar atmosphere where first pitch to the end, Yankee fans were all over the Red Sox, and you don't really get that much anymore. And you kind of do need that wild card mentality, right? You need that one game playoff. Like, this is literally all 162.
And all the shows we do leads
to that.
Right. And they know, and when you have that game, it'll be interesting to see if it's the same tomorrow. But you have that game, like you said, this is it. It's win or go home. So you know from second one, you better be ready. You got to be paying attention. The question I have for you is that you've been roaming the stands with or without your Reese's Cup suit, but all year long. And we've talked a ton about the different demographic, how it's a younger crowd. All you have to see is a Jumbotron of, you know, people twerking and everything else.
Yeah, you're never twerking on the Jumbotron.
I mean, that's because I say up here.
Yeah, up here. They never actually do.
If the Jumbotron ever comes up to me, I promise I will twerk.
All right. Okay. Jeez. Someone have your phone ready.
So my question is, I think that the demographic carried over to the postseason. Because sometimes you don't get that because, oh, here come the corporations. Tickets become harder to get, so forth and so on. But you're saying that it did carry over.
Rob, that's what I was most surprised at. And I'm there with my girlfriend, Elaine. And, you know, we basically do the same thing every time we go to the game. We get two vodka lemonades. We get to our seats. We watch the ball game. That's how it goes.
And you run out of money.
And then I'm completely broke because I just keep – no. But, no, that's exactly how it goes. And I'm looking around the crowd and it was kind of like it was a July night Red Sox Yankees. It was, I don't want to say it was like the drunkest crowd I've ever seen, but it was a very young crowd. But let's say people were very energetic by first pitch and ready to go. And I just couldn't believe, like you had alluded to, that that's the case for the postseason when it's Red Sox Yankees and the average ticket price is like $600, whatever it was.
And that's no doubt about it. I mean, that's what made the crowd what it was. We talk about being a different crowd. That's what made the crowd different.
Yes.
And you know, I love the image of that kid.
I do not condone this, but when
Bogarts hits the home run and they flash to the crowd, basically where the ball almost landed, and the kid is just—I want to say kid. What?
He's probably 22.
So he celebrates the home run, but like, how I am going to celebrate this momentous occasion, this home run, isn't to jump and down, to up and down and cheer. It is to take this Bud Light and just pound it as hard as I can and then throw it on my face.
Well, he knew he owned the spotlight. You got to give him credit because
that was the beauteous thing about it is that he didn't even know he was in the spotlight.
He was
in his own little world.
Fair, but I think one can assume as much that if you catch the ball, there's a lot of attention on you, and then he owned that moment.
Okay.
But it reminded me of 3 years ago to that day. 3 years ago to that day was game one of the 2018 ALDS against the Yankees, Red Sox Yankees. And there was a dude, I was at that game too with Emerson, Live BP alum. And there was a dude up by the Coke, I don't know, it's not the Coke deck, but right, you know, where that huge Coke sign is. And he caught a foul ball in his beer and he took it out and put it in his mouth and just shook his head around. He like ate the ball. Like, it was one of the most barbaric things I'd ever seen. But that gif was then a thing the entire postseason. And it does kind of remind me that the atmosphere in 2018, it's a great comparison. 2018, some similar players on both sides, Red Sox, Yankees. Yankees have more crossover than the Red Sox do because they've gotten rid of so many players. But that mentality was similar in 18, but it wasn't what it was on Tuesday. Tuesday,
no.
It's because you immediately have a game seven. You immediately have your do or die. And it's one thing to say that, Rob. It's another thing for the fans to show up and actually live up to that moment. Because a lot of times in the playoffs, postseason, doesn't even matter if it's a big game, the crowd is never at its real peak until like the third or fourth inning. Like, it normally takes that long for you to really feel like, oh, okay, we got to start scoring some runs. You're down 3-0. You're trying to preserve a lead. That's when the fans really seem to get into it. First pitch on Tuesday. It was at a 10.
And this is why I think it's going to carry over. And 617-779-7937 to join the baseball conversation. We're with you all the way up to 6 o'clock. We have a cavalcade of stars calling in. We'll update you on that. One we know is going to be Lenny DiNardo, who is going to call in. What do you say, 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, yeah. He's on a stroll with his kids.
Tom Caron is just confirmed for 10 minutes from now. So,
oh, perfect.
There you go.
So we are giving you the Nesson pre and post.
Actually, we can do him. We can do Tom Caron at 4:30.
That's perfect.
We do that? We'll take a couple calls. We'll get to the trending. We'll do a little Tom Caron.
You got to get to the e-call. Yeah.
And then we may or may not have a player come on as well because, like I said, they're getting ready to work out over at Fenway. But to finish my thought, I do think it will carry over. I think you're on to it. The desperation and the reality that it was one game had to factor in. But why I think it's going to carry over is because this has become this city's and this park's and this team fan base's MO now.
Yeah.
The day after that game, perhaps the biggest story after that game, other than the fact that they were advancing, was the crowd.
100%.
I wrote about it. You know, Tomasi wrote about
it. Players talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was the crowd. And so when people are being written about, they're like, let's keep this going. Anyway.
Also, and to your credit, Rob, I got on you on the crossover because it's my favorite thing to do. But this is a Red Sox town right now. Everyone is watching the Red Sox. The Bruins and the Celtics. Bruins haven't started this sticky puck yet. Celtics haven't started going for the 5 seed in the East because that's probably their peak. The Red Sox right now have a chance to knock out the absolute best team in the AL without question. There is no question the Rays are the best team. You can even say, other you know, it's not like you need the record to be the best team. They had the best record, but they're also the best team. And you have a chance to knock them out, not just by getting some Game 5 miracle back in Tampa. You have the chance on a rescheduled marathon Monday to eliminate the Rays in advance to the ALCS. That is, I mean, that cannot be understated how important it is for the Red Sox tomorrow to be ready to go, for the crowd to live up to that expectation that they set in the wild card game. And you have the right guy on the mound in Nathan Eovaldi. I am so excited for tomorrow.
Let's go.
I can't wait.
All right, speaking of excited, Jeff in Watertown, what's going on, Jeff? How you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Oh, guys, I'm doing great. You know, the game Tuesday night, the anticipation, thinking about it, knowing that no matter what happened, it was going to be a chapter and a long story. And if it just to play out the way it did, it was just perfect. It was just from pitch from the beginning. You know, I can't remember enjoying a game as much as I enjoyed that game. You're right. The crowd was phenomenal. And the thing that gets me is the play that we'll remember is the play at the plate. I mean, that's you know, you have to have a signature moment, and there's all those home runs, you know, everything else that happened. And it's funny to me because Aaron Judge, as far as Yankee players go, I think he's probably an okay guy. You know, I don't hate him the way I hated, you know, Reggie and, you know, those guys back in the day. And yet he's associated with two of the worst losses in Yankees history. That game and the boombox game, you know, game 3 in Yankee Stadium when the Red Sox came back and just took it to them. And that's what that game Tuesday night reminded me of. I mean, the vibe, just the energy for me. Reminded me of game 3 going into Yankee Stadium and, you know, 16 runs on them. So it was just a phenomenal, exciting game. And I didn't even mind as much the fact that we're seeing the Chaim Bloom, you know, bullpen by script, where you know what guy's coming in what place and they're going to do it no matter what. You know, that normally bothers me, but in that game, I didn't care because it was just.
Yeah, and Jeff, I would say this, and we're going to talk about the bullpen a little bit, but I would say this. Is that it's starting to sort itself out a little bit. I mean, I think we can agree, Jeff, that Garrett Whitlock is their closer. You saw him warming up last night. He was going to be the closer. He was a closer the last time out.
He didn't pitch last night.
Right, exactly.
Like,
so that's where you start. Garrett Whitlock is your closer, and then you go from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff, real quick, on the boombox thing, something I found out after the game, because obviously you don't pick up on broadcast stuff when you're a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in center field. apparently Aaron Judge brought the boombox to Fenway, and that was like on camera, him like coming to the park with the boombox. Is that not one of the dumbest things you've ever seen, considering how much that was tied to him last time when they didn't win a game after he did that?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we talked about this during the year, that could have been a moment that would have ignited the rivalry if the Yankees, you know, but instead it just made the Yankees look stupid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and again, like, Aaron Judge is going to be remembered for these things. And yet, like I said, compared to some of the other Yankees, I don't even dislike him that much.
I like Aaron Judge. He's a great dude. It's not like he's a bad dude.
But he's going to be remembered, you know, it's just funny. And the other thing I wanted to just say real quick is last night, getting to the bullpen. And not just one guy, you know, but really, like, I just feel like that's a real punch in the mouth. You know, that's a real.
And this is, we talk about Cora versus Cash. Cash did not have a good night last night. And the biggest reason he didn't have a good night is because you could see, was his name Whistler?
Boz didn't have it.
I'm talking about the key moment where you have that at bat, JD Martinez. And Whistler's coming in, and he's like a slider guy. All he does is throw sliders. And you can tell that all his sliders had nothing. Smoltz, who, by the way, who is awesome, I think. He's very good. And he's talking about this. It doesn't look right. We could all see it. We could all see that JD Martinez is right on him. And then, boom, a home run. And then we find out today that the guy has like some bad tendon in his finger,
which makes sense. But he also got some gift strikes. Whistler did in that JD at bat. The first one was like a little inside, then he had an outside strike. I'm like, all right, you're gonna try to, you know, nickel and dime him. Maybe give, if you're the ump, you get one of those strikes, not two in the same at bat. JD was ready. I was hoping right before that pitch, I'm like, if he could just hang one, he hangs one.
But if Cora sees that, or I think he's like, boom, you're gone. You're out. We're not taking a chance.
And Cora's already done that in the series. You're gone if you don't have it. But, Jeff, any closing thoughts from you, Jeff?
Well, just two things. Mike Tyson always said everybody had a plan until you punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about Tampa Bay. Like, I'm really curious to see, you know, what they're made of, and you know, I don't think they'll be eating popcorn on the bench.
The popcorn thing looks.
I don't even have a problem with. I don't even care.
Yeah, but now, but believe me, like that now it looks stupid.
Socks and the socks saw that. It's not like you missed that. I'm sure Cora put a picture of it on the bulletin board, but. Yeah, the popcorn thing does look a little dumb now, even though I didn't really care. I don't think it's that big a deal, whatever.
But the vibe is there. The city is, I mean, you feel it. I'm talking to people, the marathon, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a great couple days.
This is as big a weekend as you can get in early October for Boston.
This is Boston. This is a great time for us.
100%. Jeff, thanks for the call. As always, Jeff.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent call, Jeff. All right, we got Tom Caron coming up after this break, but first we're going to trend.
Mac Jones joins Merloni and Fourier every Patriots Monday.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Budweiser, the Major League Beer. This Sunday before Game 3, watch WEEI's Live BP Baseball
Show. Yeah, first remote. Yo, let's go.
I hear that it's a great show. I hear it's a great program.
It's even better in person.
It's with Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt from 1 to 3 p.m.
Stiz, you going to be there? What's going on?
Yeah, Stiz, be in the building.
I am in the building.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I am pumped. So it's with this guy, Bradford and Peralt, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Cask and Flagon on the corner of Lansdowne and Brookline Ave. Brought to you by Budweiser, the Major League Beer. The Red Sox have evened the ALDS after a 14-6. Yes, they scored 14 runs over the Rays. The Sox had a franchise-high 5 home runs. Kike Hernandez had 5 hits, 4 extra base hits, including a home run in the 5th inning. He could have had 2, Rob, and he probably should have had 2. Game 3 of their best-of-5 series is tomorrow at Fenway Park. Pre-game at 3:07, first pitch with Joe Castig, Sean McDonough, and Will Fleming. That is a Hall of Fame crew at 4:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nate Eovaldi, Nasty Nate, is on the mound. You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all 6 New England states. The Patriots will be without 4 of their starting offensive linemen as Isaiah Wynn. There's a million names. They've all been ruled out for tomorrow's game against the Texans. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson will miss 6 to 8 weeks after having surgery to fix a ruptured tendon and a finger on his throwing hand. That is going to be the first start he has ever missed in his career, which is rather insane. Jaylen Brown has tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss the Celtics preseason game against the Raptors tonight. That is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, ball net, net, ball net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, here we go. Is this gonna amp up?
There we go. All right, I was waiting for it.
You weren't letting me know.
Needed it.
So can you turn it up a little? I mean, I need a little bit of something.
Yeah. I need an audio version of 5 Hour Energy right now.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, you know what? You're in luck.
Yeah.
Because you know who's on the line? He's known for being the audio version of 5 Hour Energy. Tom Karen of Nesson.
TC,
what's up, man?
Let's go. How we doing?
Let's go.
That's the energy
right?
We need.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's fire it up.
What's your duties today? What are you doing? Nothing. Are you over the workout or what's happening?
I took the day off to get ready for this appearance.
Oh, excellent.
That's it.
You and
spent
me both.
The day preparing. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So you settled in. One of the things I want to ask about is what we began the show with. Was that the best Fenway crowd that you can remember on Tuesday?
You know, that's a great question. It's on the short list, okay? I game six of the 2013 World Series is one I'll always remember. Remember how, like, the whole city was just banging that day because everybody's waiting for them to clinch it up? This equaled that, and I didn't think it would. It was electric. I think it was younger. It was louder. There were more Kermit the Frog puppets than I ever remember at another game. So I just think it had everything you could ask for in a one game elimination.
Sticking with the Kermit the Frog thing, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't know if it was an article or a video combined with an article from NJ.com or something where it was.
Oh, almost, yeah. How dare they so mean to your character?
Yeah, it was like frowning upon. Yeah. It's like, can we please take a step back and look at what's happening? Red Sox fans are trolling a guy that makes $30 million a year that's about to start against their team in a one-game playoff when the bullpen is a foot away from the crowd. If they're not trolling him, Tom, that would be crazy. If they weren't doing that, it would be weird, right?
If that were 1978, that guy would have been the most well-behaved fan in the crowd that day. I mean, it's just, come on, can we just, I know these are different times, but are we at the point where we have to sit there and say, Mr. Cole, we wish you nothing but success tonight. May you please perform at your best level tonight against our team. Listen, did it get borderline? Yeah, sure, it got borderline. But the guy, I mean, he was in his own space. He wasn't leaning over. They had... You know, they started bringing in the human wall to defend Cole and give him away. But he wasn't throwing anything. He wasn't physically getting in his face. He was just giving it to him. And if you can't handle that, if you're making that kind of money and you can't handle taunting from a Kermit the Frog puppet, I mean, what are we doing?
I fully agree, and don't get me wrong. If they're throwing stuff at him, then get out of here. You can't be, like, actually causing harm.
No. Puppets are over the line. Throwing, I have to disagree with both of you.
If you're just throwing words at him, I mean, right? Like you said, you got to be able to handle that pressure. And it's all, you know, it comes down to us to break it down. TC, obviously, you're an all-timer. You've been doing it for a long
time.
Main
Hall of Famer.
Main Hall of Famer and a TV Hall of Famer in my book. But
it helps to be from a small state.
Exactly. And you found a way to get, you know, cell reception in Maine, which is huge. But I look at that game.
I'm in Maine. Believe it or not, you won't believe this now, Steve. I'm in Maine right now.
I can actually hear you clearly, which is huge. I can't believe it. But
Well, again, as you all know, I'm the only one who has cell service in Maine.
Yes.
Well, that's the gift they give you when you get in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Yeah, when you get in the Hall of Fame, you get cell service.
By his house, there's a huge tower. He has a cell tower right in the backyard. Yeah. It's really, his wife doesn't like it. It's an eyesore, but he still needs it. But my last question on the wild card game, because we're going to get to the DS, but if you're Gerrit Cole and we kind of assumed that the pressure got to him, is it a lot to say that it got to him? Because it seemed obvious that Fenway and the whole thing, right, the Xander homer, you combine that all up, you mix it all up, it really looked like the pressure was too much for him to handle. Is that too much to say?
I don't think it is too much to say. I think you're dead on. Go back to 2015, right? Schwarber with the home run off him in the National League wild card game. You know, maybe we got to start having the Clayton Kershaw conversation about Gerrit Cole, right? Some guys just cannot perform in an elimination game, in a high-stakes game. Cole's had some good playoff games, no doubt about it, but he hasn't been great. And you know, I mean, you're going to have that conversation about Chris Sale. It's the same deal. I think Sale has extenuating circumstances with the injury and the Tommy John, but I think it's fair to say that it was all in his head. I mean, it absolutely was all in his head. I thought it was savage of Alex Cora to put Schwarber in the leadoff spot. I know he did it again last night. He's what he's doing against righties. But it's like, here you go. By the way, you finally settled in. Kermit's out there in right field. You're a couple hundred feet away from him. You're okay now. But here's the guy who took you deep into the river the last time he pitched in a wild card game. And he's leading off for us. Let's go get after it. I thought it was perfect.
Tom Karen of Nesson, the guy who asks me so eloquent questions every single time I'm on. I appreciate that. Leads me right to my great answers. Tom, when you talk about the handling the pressure, one thing that I think that we're sort of downplaying, maybe we aren't downplaying it because it's the story of the day today, is Tanner Houck. But not only Tanner Houck, how he's pitching. The fact that Tanner Houck is technically a rookie. You know, yeah. He's a rookie, right? I mean, yeah. and he's doing this, and I know that Cora mentioned his demeanor, and I know that he's handled it very well, but he is absolutely dominating without seemingly a care in the world, and I love it. I love the fact that he's dominating, but I also love the fact the way he's going about it. Did you see this coming?
Yeah, no, I didn't at all, and you know, because let's face it, he was okay as a starter this year, not great. Good numbers, but not able to go with any length, you know. And then he gives you that 5 perfect inning start at the end against Washington. You're like, hey, now, what do we got here, right? And the one inning, he was dynamite against the Yankees in that one inning. And then he comes in last night. You know, certainly nobody in that bullpen expected there to be somebody going into the second inning with Chris Sale on the mound. And all of a sudden, Houck finds himself in there and is outstanding. Mm. And listen, I mean, the fact that they won the game last night, okay, it's 1-1, they pummeled them, all that. But it would be easy to sit here and gotten 15 and a third innings out of the bullpen. That's unsustainable. But it is sustainable because of what Nick Pivetta and Tanner Houck have done the last they've done it, to your point, very different attitudes. I mean, Pivetta is all banging your chest and beating up coolers between innings. And then you got Houck. You know, Houck in that postgame press conference, like, you almost expect him to say, oh, wait, this was a playoff game? Oh, I didn't realize.
Well, you know what's weird? TC, you know what's weird is that you just made me remember sort of like the evolution of Tanner Houck, because he came, so he worked out at Eric Cressy's place. He with Noah Syndergaard and all these guys. He's all amped up for the season this year. And then his first outing in spring training, he's too amped up. And he can't find the play. He's all over the place, clearly right, because of whether he's nervous or too excited or whatever. And that was the first spring training game of the year. And I think that you chalk this up to a kid who really, really, really is good at learning things along the way. So,
and how he carries himself.
I will say, yeah. you do wonder a little bit if, again, I think he's got to be a starter in this rotation next year, okay? But that's going to be part of the learning process for Tanner Houck. Part of the maturation is going to be learning to start, right? Because there's something to be said. I mean, I've talked to a lot of pitchers over the years. When you're in the bullpen, especially in an early inning appearance like last night, you weren't thinking about that. You weren't ready for that. All of a sudden, you just get up, you throw, you get in. There's no time to think about pressure or anything else. I don't think there's any doubt Shane Boz was sitting around for 4 days thinking about, I'm making a playoff start against this lineup. And sometimes that can hurt you. Houck's been better as a reliever this year than he's been as a starter. He's given you length. He's done more than most relievers have. But the next step, the final step for Tanner Houck, is going to be learning to deal with handling whatever you know, adrenaline that you get as a starter that maybe you don't get running out of the bullpen unexpectedly.
Yeah, and we had alluded to it with Houck and how he carries himself. I was just blown away with how cool he was after the game. He's like, yeah, you know, I just got to do what I can to win the game. I'm like, dude, this was like essentially a do-or-die game, and he came in and he did that. But last question I got for you, TC. Who's your MVP last night? Because it's a pretty difficult question, considering what the lineup did. You go from 2-6 with Kike, Devers, Bogarts, Verdugo, and JD. They all had enormous nights. They all individually had what would be the MVP of the game type of nights. Obviously, you got to mix in Tanner Houck into that equation. But who would be your guy last night if you were to single out one?
Well, in the ultimate cop-out, I'm sure you were watching the post-game show and not listening to A-Rod and Ortiz argue. and all due respect, we didn't have any area code talk in our post-game show whatsoever. So you guys can
figure out area codes later.
Yeah, I literally came on the air last night and said, we interrupt this area code talk.
I love it.
Yeah, we took the ultimate cop-out. Our star of the game was four different guys. Okay, we gave it to four hitters. But I will say this. To me, the MVP of the game last night was Tanner Houck. Yeah. It was Tanner Houck. You can talk about all the offense you want. Tanner Houck, and Kevin Cash said that right away, right? I mean, everything changed when Houck came in and shut down that offense. But if you're going to pick an offensive guy, I'm going with JD. All due respect to Kike Hernandez. It was an incredible performance from Kike. But JD, that was Curt Schilling, Willis Reed, Larry Bird hobbling into the game type stuff. I mean, you had, you know, I didn't want to say shades of Kirk Gibson because that might have been watching, but that you know, hobbling in there and hitting the way he
did. And you could
last
see
night,
it, I mean, TC. You could see that at bat. You could see, I mean, yeah, that was like.
He is grimacing.
You could see, well, no, but you could see it coming. You could see, we were talked about that with, tell me if I'm pronouncing his name right. Whistler, right? Correct?
Whistler.
Yeah, Whistler. Matt Whistler.
Somebody, it was a great tweet. There's so many great tweets to Red Sox fans, but somebody had, he was Whistler's father last night.
Yeah, yeah. But we find out today he has like a torn tendon in his finger or something, and he looked like a guy pitching with a torn tendon in his finger.
Yes, he did. Come to find out, he looked exactly like who he was. Exactly.
I'm no doctor, but I'm just telling you.
Well, you know, they said it last night. I mean, Smoltz was right on it at one point when they stopped talking about area codes. Why would you shift J.D. Martinez hard left and leave that right side open? A, he's a terrific opposite field hitter. I mean, we know, right? Most opposite field home runs over a three-year stretch in all of Major League Baseball. But when he's hurt, he's even more likely to shorten up the swing and slap one to right field if you give it to him. They gave it to him, and he made you pay. It was terrific.
Last thing, TC, before you go, you know, the ratings came out, and we've talked about a little bit about this as the year's gone on, but ratings have been great. Ratings have been great. A lot of interest in baseball. Obviously, you guys do a great job at NESN. And most noticeable is, I think, since 2011, it's been the highest rating in terms of the younger demographic. When you guys,
well, I think that's all because of Steve and the rally cups. I don't think there's any
well,
doubt
listen,
that.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Kids are eating more candy. They're staying up later because they're hepped up on the sugar, and our ratings are great.
Well, Live BP show takes credit for everything baseball.
Exactly,
so, but when you get around the round table, and you guys have been talking about this, I'm sure, internally, what's the takeaway? Is there anything?
You know, I do think that baseball is re-engaging with young people. I know it doesn't fit Dan Shaughnessy's narrative and a lot of other people, but I do think baseball is doing a really good job. You guys are both part of it. There's a heavy social media universe now engaging in every baseball game, especially in the playoffs. I think the $9 college seats made a big difference for the Red Sox this year. You know, I've got a young son who's in college. He had a lot of buddies who are going to a lot of games this summer because of those $9 tickets. I just think they've done a really good job around here, certainly, engaging. And I'm not talking kids. I'm talking the, you know, 20 to 30-year-old fans who maybe was drifting away from baseball 10 years ago. I think they're back in. I think this team, with guys like Verdugo and Kike Hernandez and some of the young players they have who show a little personality, I just think this team gets it. I think they're engaging with young fans.
I got to give you some credit, though, TC. Obviously, you've upped your social media presence. And for a guy that does the pre- and post-game shows so much over the course of the season, I feel like you're working with someone different every night. Rob and I get to do this show all year, and it's me and Rob. We know what to expect. We can get that down. So shout out to you for really crushing the game. It's a lot easier for me as a fan now. I used to have to run back the sound in the tape room. Now I can just watch the post-game show on the comfort of my own couch. So I can just grade you guys and be like, oh, he should have said this. What is this?
Well, I introduce Rob every time as our continuing segment of whatever happened to former NESN intern.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, it's so sad that it was so long ago that my job was to count pitches. Like, if there's only a way to find the way.
If there was only a way to automate that. I don't know if we could ever figure that out. One of these days, I'm going to look over to my left, and it's going to be Jack Lopez or Jonathan Arroyo, and then I will have known that the cycle's complete.
Well, so what's going on tomorrow? What's going on for the broadcast
tomorrow?
We got
pregame coverage, 6 o'clock. We're gonna have some surprise guests tomorrow, so stick around. We got the Hall of Famer Jim Rice, who was great, by the way, on Tuesday. If you didn't see it, he came on the air. First thing he said, he goes, "I know, Bucky Dent's going home, and I'm going to do another game Friday."
I love that.
Nice. That was great stuff. Awesome. But, yeah, we're going to do our full pregame show. Rob, maybe we'll have you on.
I am scheduled, unless I'm bumped by Jim Rice or one of your special guests.
You know
guests.
More than I do. I don't even know our schedule. But maybe, you know what we got to do? Maybe we'll have some Reese's Cups tomorrow on the pregame show.
Oh,
yes.
That would be so ecstatic if you guys had cups.
Yeah, push for that. Like, I know that you guys organize and scheduling everything tomorrow, but in my segment, if Steve Peralta could sit next to me in his outfit, I would love that.
TC, I know at Nesson it's a lot more laid back on the weekends. You can get some cups onto that set. I know you can. Just do
I got
it.
All the covers. You also know that if they're not a sponsor, they're not getting anywhere near the show.
That is true. To say you're eating a chocolate peanut butter candy, that also works.
All right, TC.
We got to have some kind of candy sponsor.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, and we'll be watching.
Guys.
And
you guys are great. It's a great show. First time caller, long time listener. Go get them.
Door is always open. All right.
Thanks, man.
Great Tom Kerr of Nesson fame, of course. Speaking of sponsors, by the way, I want to note this, that Botello Lumber has sponsored me and my coverage and our coverage throughout this entire division series.
Look at that.
And I tell you what, as soon as I said, they got to bring the lumber because, you know, Botello Lumber.
Yeah.
They've taken off and they scored 14 runs.
Yeah, so I mean that's obviously why they dominated.
Everyone run down a Botello Lumber.
Boom.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great off the cuff read there. You didn't even have to look at it.
No, are you kidding me? That's why I carry around this 2x4 everywhere
bang.
I go.
Boom. Yeah, I know. I thought that was weird, but now it makes sense.
All right, that's Steve Peralta. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Live BP Show. We're gonna have a short segment, and then we're gonna have Lenny DiNardo.
Yeah.
We still may have a player. We'll see what happens there. We're gonna be on with you until 6 o'clock, and of course tomorrow at the Cask and Flagon. From 1 to 3, the greatest remote in the history of remotes. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Be back after this.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, ball net, net, ball net. Done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
I'm a New York City beer. Some Spanish girls love me like I'm out in Florida. Tell Uncle Luke I'm out in Miami too.
Let's Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. Stiz behind the glass on the ones and the twos. There you go. I forget which team it was. I think it was 2013. So every time you walk in the clubhouse, it had that, all we do is win, 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 win. Like every single time. It's just like permeated into your head.
Yeah, we might need that for a rejoin. That's a pretty
good
song.
All right, we can do that next one. All right.
This was my ringtone for like 2 years.
Really? You and me both.
I love this. I wouldn't answer the call.
By the way, speaking of phones, I want to give a huge shout out to Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione for their work last night.
Oh,
so in case you weren't familiar, they had some technology issues down at the Trop. Who knew? And they were off the air for a couple of innings. And not off the air, but they didn't have the usual hookup. And they had to do the broadcast over their phones. And and they did such a good job, man. And I'm not just saying that. I told them this. But it was true. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. And in a big, big moment, that's a lot of pressure. And I thought both of them did an excellent job.
They were incredible. I mean, that's the kind of thing that... And it happens a lot in TV, too, where you got to just kind of like fly with whatever happens. But when you with radio specifically, if you don't have a connection and the Wi-Fi is bad or you can't literally get your voice out there, you got nothing. Like you have to improvise. And they did it on their phones.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I found out after the game we were doing an IG Live and people were like, yeah, shout out to Will and Joe. Because they had to do the game through their phone. I thought someone was just being a clown. I was like, wait, what? And they're like, no, they actually had to do that. So enormous props to them.
Yeah, they deserve a lot of credit.
I would not want to do that.
All right. We are not doing this on our phones. We are doing it through the miracle of modern technology. This is a Live BP Baseball Show. 617-779-7937. We're going to go back to the calls right now. We have Lenny DiNardo coming up after the break because it's Nesson Day. They deserve a lot of love. They've done an excellent job. Tom Karen can check that conversation we had with him on WEEI.com a little bit later. And you can also check out the interviews we're about to do. But not now, because we're about to do them.
Yeah, it's in the future, so you wouldn't be able to listen because it hasn't happened
yet. We have a lot of pull here, but not that much pull.
Exactly.
Andrew in Attleboro. What's going on, Andrew? How are you?
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
How you doing?
Good. So I couldn't help but think last night after Sale's catastrophe. About 3 years ago in 2018, David Price got pummeled by the Yankees. His next start against the Astros, he's pretty bad too. And then he figures something out. Between Sale and A-Rod, who's more likely to be the David Price of this playoffs, looking awful and then somehow turning into a hero down the stretch?
That's a good question.
Andrew, thanks for the call, and that is a very good question. Here's the deal. I would say between the two of them, it's Chris Sale, but Chris Sale, I can't compare him to David Price because Chris Sale is actually consistently good, and David Price was not. I did not. That was one thing in 18 that always bugged me, and I was never a big David Price guy, but it always bugged me when people were like, oh, he was nails in the postseason. He should have won World Series MVP. The Red Sox are the reason he was able to be good later on in the postseason because he stunk in the beginning of the 18 postseason. When you look at the Red Sox last 9 postseason games against the Yankees, the one loss was the David Price start. He was terrible. He gave up the biggest home run I think I've ever seen to Gary Sanchez. So that's just a little side note, but that would always bug me that people were saying that he didn't have a good postseason. He was bad, like Andrew had mentioned. But I would say between the two, it's Chris Sale. Last night, Rob, I mean, we haven't talked much about that start, but my goodness, when he gives up that grand slam.
It wasn't good.
It was the vibes. We're going to talk about vibes later. We're going to do updated vibes rankings. We're going to talk about this dump of a stadium in Tropicana Field. But
C-ring.
I could not believe that he gave up a grand slam to a guy that I barely even know. And especially on that pitch, 0-2.
But that's the weird thing, is that so you have Luplow or whatever his name.
I don't even know
Luplow,
how to pronounce it.
Luplow. So he was acquired because they said, we need bats against left-handed pitching. And this guy tears up left-handed pitching. This is what the Rays are all about. And so when the guy hits a grand slam, and then they take the lefty pitcher out. It's like, oh, sorry, man, you're out of the lineup.
Immediately, G-Man Choisin.
Well, that's
they,
it.
They both go deep, so yeah. I guess it makes sense.
But that's the way they do things. I mean, yeah. The first game, Steve, that everything, you know, we went into this and like a lot of people said, well, the Rays have won 100 games, but how good are they? Look at the stats and look at this and look at that. That first game should have been the blueprint of this is why the Tampa Bay Rays are good. Across the board, everything about that game was here's their blueprint. Now you look at it, it's like, okay, well, you're banking on younger pitchers. You're banking on them being good in the big moment. You know, you have veteran guys. And one of the things that we can talk about is on this roster, this Red Sox roster, you do have guys who have been there before.
Yeah, well, I think that's the biggest advantage the Red Sox have series-wide because Rays pitching is obviously very good. Regardless of if you're a starter or a bullpen guy, they all get treated the same. Just make sure you get the outs, and then we have the next guy lined up. Obviously, the top analytical team in baseball is the Tampa Bay Rays, and like you had mentioned, the top example is a guy hits a grand slam and he's immediately out of the game. Yeah. There's no feelings that go into how they decide how they're going to manage a game, how Cash is going to manage a game. It's all essentially decided before the game even starts. But yeah, I mean, it's the Red Sox have had guys that have been there, done that. Schwarber's a great example, even though he goes.
Well,
Schwarber,
go down the list. I mean, you know, yeah, Schwarber, Kike Hernandez,
all these guys. The entire lineup last night has experience in the postseason.
Cindy Leone,
done things. Danny Santana. But no, they all have guys. You know, the Red Sox have a lineup full of guys that have been there, done that. Bobby Dalbec not being an example, but most of the guys in the Red Sox lineup are boppers, and they have performed at this level on this stage. And Rob, the stage cannot get bigger. And tomorrow,
so I heard. I heard Nesson actually has a bigger stage.
They actually literally have a bigger stage. But let's be real.
To catch the spirit of the thing.
Between, you know, these Rays pitchers, I think it's a perfect storm for them because you have a lot of young guys that have a lot of talent. They get to start their postseason careers in Tropicana Field where there's really no pressure. It feels like it's a random May game and some people decide to show up and maybe shake some cowbells.
A-Rod said there was 45,000. There was 27,000 people. Good for you, A-Rod.
Yeah, the place was half full, two-thirds
so that's
full.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
All right, this is Live BP Baseball Show. This is a good show, conversely.
Great
this
show.
Is a good show.
Yep.
That's T. Peral. I'm Ron Bradford. Lenny DiNardo, speaking of great, the second best Rule 5 pitcher in the history of the Boston Red Sox. He's going to be joining us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.